thanks so very, very much for joining us today as we go to the Word and look at overcoming sin's desire to control us. Overcoming sin's desire to control us. The Lord had spoken to Abel and Cain. He had showed them how to worship Him. In fact, the Bible says that Abel and Cain brought their offerings to the Lord. Abel brought fat portions from his flock. Cain brought vegetables. Then the Lord looked with favor on Abel and on his offering, but on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. Well, the Bible says that whenever God accepted Abel's offering and said, "I cannot accept yours, Cain," Cain was very angry and his face downcast. Disappointment just flooded his face. Not only disappointment, but also anger. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" The Lord is appealing to Cain. Do what is expected of you. Do what I've told you, and I'll be glad to accept you. And the Lord went on as He spoke to Cain and said, "If you do not do what is right, then sin is crouching at your door." Here, God used word pictures. He said, "Cain, sin is crouching like a lion crouching in tall grass, waiting for its prey. Every muscle is tense. Every nerve is keen as it waits for just the right moment to leap from its crouching position and strike its prey." So God was saying, "Cain, if you do not do what is right, then sin is crouching at your door." And listen to this. God said, "Sin desires to have you, but you must master it." Well, I think what God said to Cain, He can say to all of us. Sin desires to have us. It desires to control us. But we must master sin. Now, sin is rebellion against God. Sin is doing our thing without regard to God's desires, commands, and laws. Let's look at the Scriptures and find out how we overcome sin's desire to control us. Well, first of all, let's remember why sin desires to control us. Have you ever thought of that? Why does sin desire to control you and me? Well, it's because God created us to be His close companions. Listen to these verses, which describe God's desire to enjoy our close companionship. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8.
"Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day."
There's a picture, beautiful picture, describing God walking in the Garden of Eden on the cool of the day. Why? Because He wanted to fellowship with Adam and Eve. He was initiating a relationship with these people. This is the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 3.
"If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am."
Now notice the emphasis of His words. "I will come back to take you to be with me, that you may be where I am." Here He's emphasizing that God wants you near Himself, not just for now, but for all eternity. Listen to John 17, verse 24.
"Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am."
Hear that? He's requesting His Father to help you and me make it to heaven because He says, "I want those you've given me to be with me." He could stop right there. That's a complete sentence. But He wanted to emphasize His statement. "I want them to be with me so that they can be where I am." the whole Bible shows a God, a loving God, who wants his loving children next to his side. Let's read Revelation 21, verse number 3.
Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.
Over and over in this verse, God is seen with men, because that's his heart's desire. So God wanted to be with Cain, but to be with God, we must be like God. What is God like? God is free from sin's control. To be with God, we must be like God. That's just the way it is. So sin desires to make you unlike God, so you cannot live near him. That's the idea behind sin. It desires to make us unlike God. It desires to bring us into its control so that we cannot be like God and consequently cannot live near him. This is the words again from Genesis chapter 4, verse number 7.
If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it.
Hear God said, Cain, if you do what is right, you'll be accepted. God was wanting Cain near himself. He desired Cain's companionship. God wanted Cain near himself, but sin wanted to separate Cain from God. So Cain had to make a choice to overcome sin's desire. Cain was just like you and me. He had to choose to overcome sin's desire so he could be like the Lord. You know, brother, sister, you and me ought to often pray to God, God, make us the companions you need and you want. Cain did not value closeness to God. So he yielded to sin's control. Genesis, please, chapter 4, verse 8.
Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him.
Can you see that? Cain did not value closeness to God. So he said, God, I'll offer the kind of sacrifice I want to offer. Brother, sister, God created us, so he holds the right to lay down the laws and the commands that control our lives. But Cain said, nope, I'm not going to do it your way, God. I'm going to do it my way. So what he did, he rejected God's word and yielded to sin's control. And sin's control eventually led to the murder of his brother. Cain murdered Abel because he chose to not live close to God. So what we want to do, brother and sister, you and me want to overcome sin by remembering this. Every choice to sin draws us farther from God. Every choice to sin draws us farther from God. And the key word here is choice. Sometimes we sin without premeditation. But God is helping us here in this message to see that we can overcome sin. We don't have to meditate on sin. We can choose to overcome sin. And we do it by, first of all, reminding ourselves that every choice to sin draws us further from God. Let's read Genesis 4, verse 14.
Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence.
There Cain said to God, God, I'm going to be hidden from your presence. Not because God wanted it that way, but because Cain chose for his life to be that way. It was Cain's choice that separated him from the Lord. So, brother, sister, if we're going to live near God, we have to say no to sin. We have to choose to love those we formerly hated. We cannot make choices in life, brother, sister, and say, I'll like this person, but I'll dislike that person. You don't have that freedom to be a Christian. You don't have that freedom at all. Because every time we choose to dislike someone, then that draws us further from God. This is Romans chapter 6, verse number 19.
You used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness.
Paul said to the Christians, formerly, you offered your parts of your body in slavery to sin, which led to ever-increasing wickedness. So you see, we hate sin. We hate rebellion against God. We hate even the feeling of sin, the attractiveness of sin. It disgusts us because we want to draw near God and not be drawn away from Him. So here's what we do secondly. We ruthlessly reject sin's control over us. Key word here is ruthlessly. You see, Satan is a bloodthirsty, ruthless creature. All his spiritual companions, the devils, demons, the evil spirits, the evil angels, they are ruthless in their desire to destroy our relationship with God. So you and me must become ruthless in rejecting sin's control over us. We don't want any tiny attractiveness towards sin in us. We want to hate sin. We want to ask God to cause us to hate sin the way He hates sin. God warned Cain about sin's intentions. In Genesis 4, verse 7, God said, sin crouches at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. He told Cain, Cain, sin desires to have you. It's going to leap upon you and overcome you and control you. But Cain ignored the warning and entertained sinful thoughts. He allowed his mind to meditate on his anger against God and his anger against his brother. These thoughts just found a lodging place in Cain's meditation. Instead of thinking about the Lord and telling God, Lord, I want you more than anything, he allowed sinful thoughts to lodge in his mind. And these sinful thoughts allowed the sin that was crouching at his door to leap upon Cain and overcome him. Suddenly, there was an intense desire to kill Abel. So he said, Abel, let's go out into the field. And while they were in the field by themselves, Cain, in hostile wrath, rose up against his brother and killed him. You see, brother, sister, sin is ruthless. So we must be ruthless in the way we treat sin. We turn off that television. We don't go to movies that fill our minds with sinful, ungodly, anti-Christian thoughts. We control what enters our minds through the media because we don't want our minds at all affected by rebellion against the Lord. Brother, sister, you can't afford it. The least sin we entertain will become bigger and bigger because that's its intention. It crouches at our door and its intention is to destroy us, to kill us. So, brother, sister, we want to become ruthless and not for a moment say, sin? Oh, it's not so bad. No, you can't do that. Cain spent the rest of his life separated from God because he didn't ruthlessly reject sin's thoughts, sins, desire. Let's read again Genesis 4, verse number 14.
Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence.
You are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. He spent the rest of his life separated from God because he entertained, he sinned, he welcomed sin. He didn't spend time in thinking about the Word, meditating on the Word. And brother, sister, even if you're not in constant contact with a church, you need Christian fellowship. We cannot make it, brother, sister, in the Christian life without fellowshipping with fellow believers. That's what happened to Cain. Well, we want to ruthlessly reject sin, and I'm going to help you do that. We have three questions. I hope that you can write these down. Let me also mention that if you send into us for a CD of this program or any of our programs, we'll not only send you the CD, but we also send you the written outline. So you can have the outline that Dolores and I follow in your hands. So here are the three questions that will help us ruthlessly reject sin's desire to control us. The first question, will this increase my love for Jesus? That question by itself should be enough to keep us away from sin, sinful influences, and ungodly anti-Christian ideas. Let me give you a verse from which I derive this question. Remember, the question is, will this help me love Jesus more? Will this activity, this thought, this pleasure, this way I spend my time, will it help me love Jesus more? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23.
Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive.
Here, Paul was talking to the Corinthian believers, and they were struggling with this thing of how we should live the Christian life. Paul said, well, everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Let's read that verse again, the 1 Corinthians 10:23.
Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive.
Brother, sister, we only want to choose in life activities that construct our relationship with God. We only want to be involved in life's activities that build up our love for Jesus. If it doesn't build our love for Jesus, it's probably going to tear our love for Jesus down. So, if Cain had just asked himself, will this feeling, will this anger, will this rebellion help me love God more? He would have quit and said, no. It doesn't help me love God more, so I don't want anything to do with it. But he never asked that question. He was never concerned about God's feelings, desires, and ambitions. In fact, I often ask the Lord these things. I say, God, help me serve your purposes, meet your needs, satisfy your desires, fulfill your expectations, refresh your spirit, and rejoice your heart. Six desires. Let me go through them again. God, help us serve your purposes, not our purposes. Help us serve your purposes. Lord, help us meet your needs. What is his need? His need is to be close to us. Lord, help us fulfill your expectations. Lord, help us rejoice your heart. Help us find what pleases you and what brings you pleasure. We're such pleasure seekers. We want to quit that. Our pleasure needs to be doing God's pleasure. In fact, when you love God, that is your pleasure. Your pleasure is all about doing what pleases Jesus, what brings a smile to His face. So, if we're going to ruthlessly reject sin, we first of all ask ourselves, will this help me love Jesus more? Second question. Will this activity, this thought, this meditation, will this draw people's attention to Jesus? Will this draw people's attention to Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31.
So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Let's read that again.
Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. In other words, whatever we do in life should be a spotlight that shines on Jesus and draws the people's attention to our Lord. You know, whenever we pastored in Tokyo, a young man who served in the U.S. military over there attended our church. He met with me one day and said, Pastor, what do you think? Does the Bible forbid us from drinking alcoholic beverages? And I could have given him lots of scriptures to indicate that the Bible is against it. You know what I did? I said, sir, I won't tell you his name, but I'll say, sir, will drinking alcoholic beverages draw people's attention to Jesus? And then I took him to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And I said, here it says plainly, whatever you do, whether you drink or eat, do it for God's glory. So, brother, sister, we ruthlessly reject sin by asking this question. Will this activity, this desire, this meditation draw people's attention to Jesus? If it will not, we don't want anything to do with it. Third question. Will this activity or thought or meditation, will this hinder me from living close to Jesus? Let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1.
Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles.
The Bible writer wrote these words. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, it doesn't say sin. It says hinders. Let's do away with everything in our lives that hinders our closeness to Jesus. Everything that prevents, that slightly impedes our walk with Jesus. Let's get rid of it. Let's not entertain it. Let's not welcome it. I'm so amazed at what Christians will welcome into their homes through their television, through videos or DVDs. Or the radio. They'll let people into their home that are totally sinful. I can't imagine that. Why do you do that? That's hindering your walk with Jesus. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about hindrances. My brother, sister, if we're going to ruthlessly reject sin, we must ask ourselves this question. Will this activity, this idea, this thought hinder me from living close to Jesus? And if it does hinder us, we say no to it. Anything that hinders, we say no to it. There should be no hesitation. And if we're hesitating, trying to decide, do I want Jesus or do I want this activity, we need to fall on our knees before God and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for thinking anything is worth selling you for. God, I don't want to sell you and get rid of you. I want to draw near you. I want to be loving you. I want my arms wrapped around you and your arms wrapped around me, O Lord. Forgive me for that thought. Okay, so we ruthlessly reject sin by asking ourselves, will this increase my love for Jesus? We ruthlessly reject sin by asking, will this draw people's attention to Jesus? We ruthlessly reject sin by asking, will this hinder me from living close to Jesus? Brother, sister, we can live in this sinful world without letting the world inside of us. We shall live near God because we overcome sin's desire to control us. I love Isaiah 26, verse number 9. O Lord, I long for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit yearns for you. Let's make that our prayer. God calls me to long for you and yearn for you like I've never wanted you in all my life. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. You were tempted and enticed in every way, yet you chose to live near God. You valued God more than anything else in the creation. So, Lord, we want the same heart in us. We want to love Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, just like you loved Him. So cause us to hate sin and love righteousness. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.